many times have you thought about quitting your job and starting a new life? Hey, I'm Lindsay, the girl who actually did that. And now I'm on a mission to change the 9-to-5 narrative that dreading Monday and working for the weekend is normal and acceptable. My goal is to help you see your potential beyond your credentials, gain clarity on what it means to live life on your own terms, and build the confidence to go after your dream career. I'm here to prove to you that it's possible for you to do work you love, make a positive impact on the world, make even more money than you're making right now, and live a deeply fulfilling life. So let's dive in. If you have a podcast or if you want to start one, you're probably wondering, how does Lindsay produce such high quality, amazing podcasts every week? And if you've been here since the beginning, you know that I started with the voice memo app on my iPhone, but we have come a long way since then. And now I'm so glad that I found Zencastr. Zencastr is the only platform you need to seamlessly record, produce, publish, and monetize a studio quality podcast all from one dashboard. I've been using Zencastr for years now to record all my podcasts. I love the audio and video quality, and probably my favorite part is that it automatically syncs with my Google Drive. So after I'm done recording an episode, the audio and video track magically shows up in my Google Drive for my editor. And with their new sponsorship platform, I'm able to get matched with sponsors and monetize my show without me barely doing anything, to be honest. Plus, with their pro plan, you get expanded post-production features, transcriptions, show analytics, and more. So if you're ready to launch your own podcast, or if you're still in the phase of recording on your iPhone, you have to check out Zencastr's free and pro plans today. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code QUITYOURJOBSIS to get 30% off your first 3 months of Zencastr Pro. I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It is time to share your story. Again, that's zencastr.com/pricing and use code QUITYOURJOBSIS, all lowercase, to get 30% off your first 3 months of Zencastr Pro. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, we are taking a deeper look at the Great Resignation and what led millions of women to set their unfulfilling jobs ablaze over the past 2 years. One of those women is my guest today, Sarah McElroy, quit her job twice in the past 2 years. She is the Wall Street Journal's poster girl for pandemic career burnout. After leaving her hustle culture job as a chief marketing officer and subsequently leaving another job due to deeply ingrained cultural issues, Sarah returned to her journalism roots to better understand the stories, breaking points, and defining moments that led women to seek greater opportunities mid-pandemic. These conversations became the genesis of Raise to Rise, an organization created to amplify women's voices from the Great Resignation and inspire others to blaze new trails in their own careers. You already know I can't wait to dive into this topic. So, Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Lindsay. Great to be here.
I can't wait to dive more into your own story and just what you've learned from speaking to all of these women. So to start, could you tell us a little bit more about your own journey and what led you to quitting your job slash jobs?
Sure. Definitely. Well, jobs given that I am Great Resignation class of 2021 and class of 2022. Mm-hmm. And pre-first resignation, I was really that corporate good girl. I was the one that whatever you asked of me, whatever the hours required, I would do it. And I wore that as a badge of honor that I could show up and outperform anyone. And it was something that I'd really invested so much of my identity and worth in, if I'm completely honest. But so as I was in this chief marketing officer role, I am also balancing an executive MBA program at the same time and ultimately working up to 20 hours a day between the two to get through them both. And I'm thinking, just need to get through graduation. It'll all get better. I had a couple of episodes, though, of throwing up blood that were the first sort of red flag moments to be like, okay, maybe something's not right here. But I just felt like I had to keep going. Other people had lost jobs in the pandemic. I was grateful to have mine. I just needed to keep the wheels on the bus for a period of time, but then ultimately was diagnosed with shingles in April 2021. And that was enough to wake me up and to get me to rethink how I was doing not only just my career, but my life entirely. So I quit that job. I ended up moving down to Florida. I found a new job down here and I started out cutting back on hours and I'm doing all this yoga and meditation and self-care. And I'm wondering why my burnout is not completely healing. And it was something that I was kind of a little bit disconnected from, if I'm completely honest. During that time, that was when the Wall Street Journal picked up my story and they did both an article for them and a podcast. And you'll hear in the podcast interview, it really ends with like Sarah found her idyllic little slice of paradise in Florida and is finding peace on the water. And that was part of it. But I didn't realize that the cultural issues, even if I am cutting back on hours and working in a more normal schedule, I had this nascently healing burnout wound. And I'm walking into this organization and it's wondering what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to be said that day. I was dealing actually with a sexual harassment situation that wasn't being properly addressed for months. And that was like a paper cut on that freshly healing wound. And so ultimately in January of this year, they did do an investigation. This was months after even HR overheard one of the comments and didn't take proper action. And they did do this just really cursory check the box investigation. Mm-hmm. I got the readout in all of 4 minutes after I'd submitted thousands of words of documentation detailing really like 4 months worth of missteps. And that was it for me. I knew my voice hadn't been heard. I wasn't respected in this organization and I was done.
Yeah. Wow. Quite the journey.
Yes.
And I'm sorry for all of that you went through. Unfortunately, I think it's something that I think a lot of women can relate to. And I've talked to a lot of women who had, you know, health issues specifically that were related to their job or working long hours or being burned out and just continuing to push because that's the culture that we're in, you know, when we're in these big companies. And it's not every company, it's, you know, but it's a lot of them. And so what then triggered you to want to reach out to these other women who were part of the Great Resignation and kind of understand this collective experience better?
Yes. Well, so it was all born out of really that second resignation because I hit such a boiling point, Lindsay, that I didn't give 2 weeks notice. I got that readout that morning and I'm like, how did they possibly do their proper due diligence? I am not walking back into that organization again unless it's to turn in my resignation letter. And that's what I did. I drafted this blistering anti-harassment resignation letter. Because at that point, I am pissed off, not just for myself, but for the other women in the organization, because it's just absolute garbage. Mm-hmm. So I draft it that night. I go into the office the next morning before dawn. And, you know, honestly, I'm like shaking as I have my finger over the send button to, you know, actually send it off into the internet ether to not only HR, but my boss and the CEO. But just felt like this has to happen and this has to happen this way. Like, I don't have anything left for this organization and they don't deserve me sticking around for another 2 weeks. So I do all that and I leave the office and I'm feeling that instant euphoria and feeling liberated and empowered. But then it's like, oh my God, too, what have I done? This is such a departure from that good girl that I was. What has happened to me? And so I'm reeling. I don't have a plan. I don't have a job. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I was thinking I would do something in the space of burnout, but this experience, this crystallizing experience that was like, I can't be the only woman who is having this happen of moving from one toxic culture to another, getting mired in these spin cycles of burnout. What are these other women experiencing? And so that's why I decided ultimately to interview them and find out their stories as well.
Yeah, which I cannot wait to dive into. So, you know, obviously millions of women, millions of people, but I think the majority of them are women who have left their jobs over the past couple of years. Why do you think it is that the majority of them are women?
Yes. Past 2 years have been really hard on everyone as we've been experiencing this collective trauma, but we know it's been far more difficult for women, especially professional women and working moms, even to boot, because you have not only, you're juggling your professional responsibilities, but then during the pandemic, as our safety nets evaporated and childcare facilities are closing, schools are closing, we're not seeing our family and friends who could help with things related to watching kids and all of that. Like, our systems that we had that were keeping the train on the tracks pre-pandemic collapsed. And so then what McKinsey and Lean In found during their annual Women in the Workplace report is that women were spending on average an additional 3 hours per day in unpaid, unrecognized labor at home related to housework and childcare. And that was in 2020. Then you fast forward 1 year later, those numbers have held strong. And now in that same study, women are reporting like over 50% of them that their mental health is poor or very poor. And they are also 1 in 3 are wanting to potentially either leave the workplace entirely or downshift their careers. So it's no surprise that you have that pressure that becomes a pressure cooker continuously. If we haven't solved these problems, women are still facing all of this stress and exhaustion and burnout. That's what leads to that statistic you mentioned at the beginning. And that was a Deloitte survey that found 50% of women want to quit in the next 2 years, and only 10% plan to stay with their current employer on a 5-year horizon. Like, those are red alarm numbers that tell us we have to be doing something different.
Yeah. And it's so interesting to me, you know, what do you think it is that makes women have such a different experience in these corporate cultures than a lot of men do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, it goes to the system was built by men for men, and really white men at that. And then we, and then we slotted in. Like, it wasn't even until 1972 with the Equal Rights Amendment that we had equal protection under the law and equal right to be in the workforce. And yes, that was 50 years ago, but that's also not that long ago, all told, when you think of, you know, decades, hundreds of years really before that, when men were more seen as the breadwinner in the household and the ones who were doing the work, and women were caring for the children, even going back, you know, thousands of years. So anyway, it's an interesting thing that we know that the system wasn't built for us. And then we've got things like discrimination, pay gaps, sexual harassment, all of these undercurrents that are running from that historical sort of setup that we have of women not being equal to begin with. And those things aren't solved either. So then we come in with the pandemic and women are bearing more responsibility of the work at home too. Of course, it becomes more stressful and more difficult for women to manage, and women are more burnt out from men or than men in wanting to leave.
Yeah. So do you think that the Great Resignation is going to trigger a shift in the workforce and kind of how we structure work? And if so, like, what would need to change in order for us to have a system that actually supports women?
Yes. Great questions. I do believe we are seeing a true shift in how women especially approach their careers. Now, men as well too, but definitely for women. McKinsey did another report on the Great Resignation in July, looking at both men and women, and found that this really seems like this is a structural shift in the workforce, not just an episodic blip. One of the co-authors even said, we are not going back to the way things were in 2019 related to work. Even as much as companies want us to go back in that box with the return to work and to return everything to that stasis that benefited them pre-pandemic, that isn't happening. It's almost like this collective awakening, like the blinders are coming off for more and more people, and you can't unsee once you've seen. So I definitely think what we are experiencing are these accelerated growing pains. My belief too is that all of this was bubbling pre-pandemic. It's just that we seeing kind of all of our systems come to a screeching halt and beginning to notice that there are all of these kind of cracks and fissures, and that things aren't exactly as they seem. And maybe some of the rules of work are arbitrary, like I do or don't have to go into an office every single day of the week, even though they told me that I do. Like, that's not actually a mandatory sort of a thing for me to get my job done. So we started asking all of these questions of not only the economy and our systems in the workplace themselves, but questions of ourselves of like, do I actually like this job? Does this make me happy? Is this the lifestyle I want as far as the number of hours that are required in this work? And it becomes, how does my career slot into my life moving forward rather than the other way around? It's something we just didn't even question pre-pandemic. It was like, here's your career, and then fit your personal life around it and compartmentalize it in such a way that we don't even know that you have it really at work. Like, keep the messiness and the humanness to yourself, please check that at the door. And we started to realize that it's all so, it's silly, it's arbitrary, and it's not really sustainable and what many of us would want in our lives. So that's kind of the first part. And then to answer your second question, the Mom Project, they have done some interesting studies in the area of key success drivers for women at work. And number one is flexibility. And number two is respect. And so it's flexibility, of course, that makes tons of sense. That means I'm able to wear my parent hat as well as my professional hat and balance the two in a way that makes sense. So if I have to leave early to pick up a kiddo at school, I come home and maybe I log on a little bit later to check some emails and finish up for the day. But it's like, it's no big deal. I'm able to do that. I'm able to work from home some days. And then respect is really about respecting that we have both roles to play and not having to hide it. Like respecting the fact that I am a working mother and it's something that I am really proud of rather than making me hide it. And it goes to kind of like the working motherhood penalty and the fatherhood bonus. I don't know if you've heard of that, where working moms actually see their wages stagnate over time, whereas fathers see their wages increase the more kids they have. And women, they, you know, they have another kid, their wages go down even further. And so it's just this fascinating thing where we're almost punishing mothers. And so if we design a system that can best support them, guess what? It's a boon for everyone. It's flexibility is great for men too. So it's just like, how do we treat everybody like humans who can be trusted and should be respected for being their whole selves at work?
I actually didn't know that tidbit about men's wages increasing the more kids they have, but I'm not really all that surprised.
I don't know the exact stats off the top of my head, but I'll share the article if you want to include it in the show notes, because it is super fascinating. It goes beyond just sort of that, the benefit of like the brownie points where you hear about the dad who's leaving work early to go to his son's play. And you're like, oh my God, that's so amazing. He's such a great father. And the mom says she's going to do that. And it's like, well, Julie better hop on email later. You know what I mean? Like, it's so wrong.
Yeah, it's crazy when you think about it and how differently like working dads and working moms are perceived. And that's a whole nother podcast episode for another day. So tell us more about Raise to Rise and what you've learned from the women that you have interviewed so far.
Yes, it's been by far the greatest joy of my professional career to do this. And never would have thought that I would be the good corporate soldier that I was in this lane of talking about quitting and empowering women to find what's right for them. But I think it's such an important movement and time. And so in talking with these women, what I found is that, yes, really at the core of it, the heart of it is this looking at our values and reprioritization. It looks different for every single woman, but that's probably the biggest sort of catch-all related to that. But the one singular red thread that is woven through every conversation I had that I was really surprised about is that every woman, when she was making the decision to leave, ultimately came to just this place of knowing that she was going to have to quit. She was going to have to walk away. And I was fascinated by this because we are taught logic and rationality with our careers, you know, chase that secure, stable job and pull down fatter paychecks, get fancier titles. Like, this is the way to do it. And then with that too, you're making all your decisions as far as what you do in a very logical, rational manner. You're not allowing emotion or intuition into the mix. But really, it was that even with women who did financial plans or budgets or pro-con lists, those weren't the deciding factors. They were essentially secondary and kind of like a method by which you could bring your brain on board with the decision to quit and feel better about it and have the plan and all of that. So like, logic's important in this, but it came from a deeper, wiser, more intuitive place for women. I was blown away by that.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, I started going to therapy when I was living in North Carolina, but when I moved back to Massachusetts, I couldn't work with my therapist anymore because she was only licensed in North Carolina. And truthfully, I tried to look for another therapist up here, but I gave up on more than one occasion because it seemed impossible to find someone in my area who I vibed with and who was available when I needed them. BetterHelp solves that problem by matching you with a professional licensed therapist in your area. And the best part is, you can communicate with your therapist in whatever way works best for you, whether that's phone calls, video calls, or text, and you can message your therapist whenever you need them. BetterHelp gives you all the benefits of in-person therapy, but it's more convenient, more accessible, and more affordable. So check out betterhelp.com/Lindsay Hansen today to get matched with your next therapist and save 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/Lindsay Hansen. If you don't know how to spell my name, just click the link in the show notes, babe. Yeah, I feel very validated by that. Okay. I'm sure a lot of the listeners do as well, because that's really what the decision came down to for me too. Mm. And like, yes, I had, you know, the finances to support myself when I quit my job. But honestly, I think I would have done it even if I hadn't had, you know, the savings that I had at the time. Yeah. And I think that's how we as women tend to make a lot of decisions, but we are told our entire lives that we shouldn't. We shouldn't listen to our emotion. We shouldn't listen to our intuition. We should think things out and be rational and be logical and create a plan and strategize. And that's very much not how I make decisions. Pretty much ever since I quit my job, and like all of my business decisions are based on, you know, does this feel right for me? Does this feel like the right next step for me? Does it feel like a yes or a no? Yes. And knowing that if it's a yes, I'm going to have the resources that I need to make it work, you know? And I just think it's so looked down upon to not make a decision based on like, oh, creating like a spreadsheet and asking every single person we know what their opinion is and weighing all the options. And like, I want to really validate all of the women listening who feel like they just have this internal knowing that something is not for them, and they've been pushing it down because they're trying to think, you know, and listen to everyone around them or think about it logically, or it doesn't make sense to do this. Like, it didn't make any sense at all for me to quit my accounting job a year and a half in after I spent all these years in school and getting my CPA license and I was on a really good track. It didn't make any sense for me to quit and become a fitness coach, which is what I was doing when I first started my business. But here we are, you know, and if I had never made that decision, who knows where I'd be right now. So you really can trust yourself, and there's a reason why you have that intuitive feeling. And that's just was very validating for me to hear that all of those women felt that way too.
Well, Lindsay, I love so much of what you said in that our bodies and our emotions are so brilliant. And we have been taught that those don't have a place at work. But that's what happens then when we ignore that knowing, we push it down for so long. We're in this rumbling phase. Like, we know that there's misalignment and fragmentation. Like, we don't feel good in here anymore. We're disillusioned. Perhaps we're becoming disengaged. We're feeling trapped. Like, all of those are the telltale signs that something is wrong here. Now, what I will say is that even though women were ultimately coming to this place of knowing, I do want to differentiate that sometimes we do face discomfort or friction at work because we are meant to learn a lesson or address a conflict or speak up for ourselves. All of those things are important. So this isn't about running away, but you can tell in your body when you connect with that part of yourself that knows, you can tell if it's more of that like frenetic fear energy. That's like what's going to tell you you need to run away versus like that knowing is that sort of peaceful place that's like, this is not for me. I need to do something different, and trust that, because you're absolutely right. It comes down to self-trust, and women for, you know, millennia have cut off their intuitive knowing to fit into the society the way we were expected to by men. And like, we didn't have autonomy over our lives, our bodies, our work, those things. Like, we had to, anytime we couldn't control those things and our body and our intuition was telling us something different, we just shut it down and suppress it. And so because we've learned to do that over time, it can be scary to acknowledge that that is a very real, very telling way that our body communicates with us. So just thank you for bringing that to bear and yes, validating that, because that is at the heart of all of this.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So did you notice any common kind of breaking points from talking to all of these women of like, what was it that ultimately allowed them to know that like, now is the time for me to leave?
Well, that's a great question. I wouldn't say necessarily that there was anything really similar across the board, because it was like some women were burnt out. I had one woman who was feeling like she had this passion to pursue singing and songwriting. So it was, yes, some burnout, but it was also something calling her to the other side. So like, yes, it's pain for some women, but for some, it's more of that chasing the gain and what I would want to see and what my passion or dream might be. But really, the way I looked at it, because the reasons were also different, is that I found there were three ways the knowing comes to us. So the first is that like light bulb moment, that Hollywood moment of like, oh my God, your reality is shattered. I just know I'm going to have to leave. So that's the first way. The second way is much more of that gradual build and the collecting of little data points along the way that ultimately leads us to that place of like, the proof is here. Like, I just know I have to leave. And then the third way is more of that peaceful acceptance and surrender of like, I'm going to just accept that I cannot change this situation. That was really, I mean, I was certainly, as I told you, very upset at what happened at the last job. But that was a moment of surrender that was like, I'm not going to be able to change this organization. If I want to be happy, I need to remove myself. So that's more of what that is. Acceptance that you can't change the situation, the job, the people, and that I'm going to surrender and I'm going to extricate myself from this situation because that's what's best for me. So that was what I was really fascinated by, is like, it can come in different ways. It can be more pain-driven. It can be more gain-driven. But ultimately, we do get to that place. And that is this linchpin in this journey that we go on when we're walking away from a job.
Yeah. So I know you mentioned that there were a lot of women you spoke to who kind of had this passion or something that they were leaving to do that they felt would be more fulfilling. So was that the majority of women, or for others, what was it that they were leaving to do? Like, did they have something else in mind? Were they like, I just need to quit. I don't have a plan, but I'm going to figure it out. Or were they like, I'm just going to be a stay-at-home mom now? Was there, I guess, what were some of the things that you noticed that these women are leaving, and what are they doing after they leave?
Yeah. Well, that's what I think. There's a misconception related to the Great Resignation, with you hear the refrain all the time of nobody wants to work anymore. Yeah. I will tell you that that is not true. I personally actually never interviewed a single woman who was like, I don't want to work at all, period. Or even honestly, I haven't even interviewed a woman who decided to just completely stay home with her kids. I'm excited to hopefully, so if anybody's listening and wants to share that story, like, I would love to capture that perspective too. It's really been women who decided, I'm going to do my own sort of entrepreneurial venture, and it could look very different, lots of different things in that lane. But it's also women just moving to another corporate job to find a culture, a work style that's better for them. And so that's what I love about the overarching message with all of this, is it's not every woman is going to think that entrepreneurship is an exciting dream. For a number of women that I talk to, it's like, oh no, that doesn't sound like fun. Yeah. I'm not self-motivated enough. Like, the fear of not knowing where my paycheck's coming from, like, that is not for me. And that's more than okay. We can walk away from these scenarios of these toxic situations and find another organization that can be better. Now, I can tell you, as you and I have both experienced, that can certainly be hard. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done in improving cultures in corporate America, but I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with being like, I love corporate work. And if that's you, that's great. But that's what's been really interesting in all of this, is this is more about a voting with your feet, a taking a stand for what is better for you, for your family, for your life, and then figuring out what that next step is, whether that's striking out on your own or showing up at another office.
Okay. So I know for yourself, you know, burnout was a major, you know, thing that triggered you initially leaving your job. And as you mentioned, it's that pain that comes up that kind of triggers it for a lot of people. And I hear stories all the time of people who are like, oh, I, you know, either got sick or had something tragic happen in my life or had something happen to someone close to me. And that's kind of the moment when we realize how short life is and how precious life is. And that's often what triggers us to kind of wake up and be like, I'm not happy here and I want to make a change. So why is it that you think we end up staying in these jobs that make us miserable, that are toxic, that we know we don't love for so long? And I guess, how can we kind of reach that point before it's almost too late? Like before it starts affecting our health, how can we know that it's not the right job for us?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think there are a litany of reasons of why we stay too long. And when I was pulling it all together, I really found that there were three categories. The first is fear. And fear manifests, it's very wily and cunning. It will get us anyway. Like even if you, you know, you come to a place where you're like, I'm not scared about money anymore, but guess what? Imposter syndrome, here it comes. Like it shows up in so many different ways. So fear is first and foremost, because again, we are all wired to have fear to keep us safe. And the next sort of category is related to our own sort of cognitive limitations. So it could be like sunk cost fallacy. Like for example, when you're talking about your story and you're saying like, it doesn't make sense to just leave this job that I've worked or went to college to earn this degree and to become a CPA. Yeah. Like doesn't make sense, logical sense to leave. But you were able to break through that sort of sunk cost fallacy that's like, well, I've already invested this. I just need to keep going with this career. But that can definitely be part of it. So our brains can talk us out of the moves that we need to make. Now, the third category is also conditioning. And I think good girl conditioning is very insidious. And even if we think we haven't gotten good girl conditioning, we really have. Because it's so just embedded in the undercurrent of our society. So if you think about with school, like we as women especially were raised to be obedient, to follow the rules, to not ask questions, to take care of other people, to put others' needs before our own. So all of that, if not just like the school system and society at large, and sometimes for some of us, even our parents are telling us this, that is this kind of this cage that can keep us from thinking we deserve to make a move, that it's okay to break the rules and do something different. So we have all of those three factors that kind of work against us. And then I had this amazing conversation with Dr. Tamara Beckford, who focuses on burnout and actually the workplace. And she was saying to me that our bodies are so brilliantly evolved that we're adaptive to stress. So think about it like the frog in the boiling pot of water experience, where we end up in a situation, we're getting more and more stressed and the kind of everything's mounting, the pressure's all mounting and we're feeling it, but we're not actually feeling it as much as we would until a breaking point moment because it's building over time. So she mentioned specifically that like heart disease, for example, is a silent killer because your blood pressure is raising, but you don't actually know that until you have like a heart attack. And so it's a similar sort of a situation where it has to get really bad to flag for us because our bodies are just trying to keep us alive and survive in these stressful situations by adapting to the increased stress. And that one just blew me away because I look back on when I was in that CMO role, I left in April, but by December of that year, I was noticing that my Fitbit resting heart rate was increasing. Like if I could look over a period that it was going up and up, and actually I'd made a lot of changes to my health during that time. And I was taking better care of myself with exercising. I wasn't drinking any alcohol, like nothing else that would increase my heart rate. The only thing that was happening is that I was in a really hellish situation at work. So yeah, it's just fascinating.
Yeah, it's always crazy to me to see the real impact that your job can have on your health, like mental health, physical health. Yeah. And it's just so sad to think that, you know, we're in these jobs that are so detrimental to our health. And, you know, so many people stay for so many reasons. And it's not always easy to just, you know, leave, of course. Yeah. But I just can't imagine still being in, you know, a job, because I felt it. I was only there for a year and a half and I felt it. Like, I was not getting enough sleep. I actually was very, I was working out every day, like eating probably better than I even am now at that time. But despite that, just, you know, the stress of going to work, going to a job that I didn't enjoy, working so many hours a week, not getting enough sleep, not really having much time for myself or my friends or my family or my hobbies or things that I enjoy, it really does take a toll on your health. And that's one of the biggest thing I noticed after leaving is how I wasn't exhausted every day anymore. And I realized that I had just been living in like a constant state of exhaustion that I just got used to. And I just kind of accepted it. I was like, oh, well, this is just adulthood. Like, you're just tired right. all the time.
I know. There's some very specific memes out there that I can think of that are in that same vein of like, that's just what you do when you're an adult. But like,
No, because now on days where like I don't get enough sleep, it's a noticeable difference from I am like, I need a nap. Like, I can't even get through the day because I'm not used to it anymore. Like, I don't live in that state of exhaustion anymore. And so when I don't get enough sleep, it's noticeable, you know, and it's crazy because every single time it happens, I'm like, this is how I used to feel every single day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how did I not see that as a red flag?
Totally. And it's that adaptive sort of thing. And it's part of like our nervous system being in fight or flight mode far more than we ever should be. And that's what I was really finding to the end. And that's what shingles is, right? Like, that is an attack of the nervous system by the shingles virus. And yes, my immune system had to be weakened for it to attack, but that's really what it meant. And I was finding that I would have the 5 days of the work week when I was just absolutely miserable and full on armoring up to walk into this organization. I was the youngest member on the executive team. And honestly, some of the other women there were horrific, like backstabbing, lying, bullying other members of the executive team. And it's just like, this is terrible. So I'm going in every single day steeled for battle. And of course, then what ultimately happened is that my nervous system couldn't even uncoil enough on the weekends, I believe at least, to get into that parasympathetic rest and digest state. Mm-hmm. And so I was just overstimulated, like nervous system stuck on in sympathetic mode all the time to be on hypervigilant alert of all the threats in my environment. And the threats in my environment were not the, you know, the lion chasing me in the desert because I'm prey. It's at my workplace, which is just so mind blowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's craziness. And it's crazy to think about the long-term effects too that could have on your health, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so with a recession looming, what does that mean for the women who are, you know, still in their jobs and thinking about leaving?
Yes, I believe that this is not a time to, if you're feeling like you need to leave, this is not a time to just like wave the white flag of surrender and be like, I'm just going to put my head down and just slog it out, especially if you're in like a really toxic, dysfunctional, or like an abusive situation. I mean, certainly you're being harassed or things like that, and you've tried to address it, like, get out. But I think for other women who are still feeling that nudge to leave, like, your intuition, your body, you're feeling that, your heart is telling you for a reason. So you acknowledge that, because I think that's a really important part of it too, because we're so used to suppressing that part of us and just like telling it to shut up. Honestly, super important to acknowledge it. Like, I'll even talk to myself to be like, okay, Sarah, I hear you. I hear you that this is not working. We can't do something about it right now, but know that I am working on it. Because even that is like a gentle reassurance to your body that you are going to get out. Otherwise, your body's like, I'm going to have to blow a gasket to get this girl's attention, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it. And then what I also believe from these conversations with women is that there is so much more to our careers and how to architect them in a way that leads us to fulfillment, whatever that looks like for us, than we've ever been taught. So I believe that this time during a recession, if you do have to keep your head down and just tell yourself, I'm going to work on getting out, you're doing work to figure out what that next move is going to be. You're taking baby steps in the direction of the dream. You're planning, you're getting to know yourself better. You're building and nurturing that into that kind of connection with your intuition. You're doing all of these things that are signaling to your brain, your body, that you're going to eventually get yourself out of that situation. And you're building your map and you're recognizing that careers are more of a journey and are meant to be just like life, honestly, like evolve with us as we evolve as humans and have peaks and valleys, because that's part of the life journey. And you embrace it with all of the messiness. So just start to figure out what that next move would look like to bring you fulfillment. Because I know personally, I've certainly made moves in the past where I have just moved to a new thing without real thought for, is this culture going to be the right fit for me? I mean, it's like I didn't see my own worth in that to be like, I could tell them no and pick another job. Like that didn't even register for me. It's like, oh, they want me in this job. I'll take it, because I have this scarcity mindset that something else is not going to come along. And so it's really like fortify that self-worth, that self-trust, that intuitive connection. Start building your plan, exploring what's going to make you happy and what you want your job to look like, work life to look like on the other side. And then you can make a move. And that's why, Lindsay, I deeply believe that we're not addressing all of these things that have made women unhappy and make, you know, making 20 or 50% of them want to quit their job in the next 2 years. And then in the next 5 years, 90% of them, like we have not solved those going into this recession. So you can sure as bet that on the other side, women are going to make moves again and you'll be ready because you are preparing during this time.
Yeah. And is there anything else that you would recommend women think about or anyone thinks about as they're preparing to quit their job, whether we're in a recession or not? Just anything to think about, you know, if you're in that point of, I'm ready to quit, what other advice would you give?
You know, I think I would say most important is to figure out what success means to you. Define it on your own terms. We've got this one perspective of what work success, career success looks like in our society. And this is a moment. If you're listening to this podcast, you're having that wake up moment too.
Yeah.
This is your chance to be able to say, screw it. I don't care what, you know, my family thinks, what other people think I should do. I mean, I told people I was leaving my job this year, and I had a buddy from grad school who's like, why would you do that? You have built up such a great career for yourself thus far. Like, why would you leave and do this kind of crazy thing in this journalism project? Guess what? I don't care because I know what's right for me. And I know he's well-meaning, right? Like everybody's super well-meaning. People want to save us from heartbreak and paltry paychecks and all of those things. But like our careers are just like our lives in that our happiness is completely incumbent upon us to determine, not to look externally, not to seek any sort of other validation or opinions. And certainly you can talk to people too, but like come back to your core of who you are when you're making these decisions. And I deeply believe you can't go wrong, because like I could even be sitting here, I could tell you, oh, Lindsay, I made a doozy of a mistake coming down to Florida for this job, that I had to deal with that sexual harassment issue. But if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you now. And so I just think the more we listen to ourselves and take those steps in the right direction, even if, you know, on the other side of quitting, that job you got is not so great, or you don't love the business you've started, reinvention is always possible. Pivoting is always possible. We can change our destiny. It's always in our hands.
Yeah, I love that so much. I think we put so much pressure on ourselves to like figure it out, right? And especially, I mean, I'm 28 years old now. When I quit my job, I was 24, like 23 maybe.
Oh, wow,
I think I had just turned 24, right? And I can't possibly have the rest of my life figured out at 24 years old. You know, but we put so much pressure on ourselves, like, I need to pick the right thing, and this is the thing I'm going to do forever. Yeah. And like, I could have said the same thing. I could have looked back at like, oh, I chose to be a fitness coach, but that was the wrong choice for me. But if I hadn't done that, I never would have started an online business. I never would have learned all the things that I've learned now. I never would have started this podcast, and like, who knows what I'd be doing, right? So it all kind of adds up, and you're going to get there eventually. And I think we can just free ourselves from this pressure that we have of knowing our ultimate purpose and like having our entire life figured out with this one decision.
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly think that there is just so much more magic in approaching not only our careers, but our lives that way. Because think about it. Would you want to wake up and be like, I'm going to do this dang thing every single day until I retire and it's going to look exactly like this and I know what it is? Or be open and available for new doors to walk through, or like magic and surprises and all these things that can come when we don't have a closed mind to what it has to look like. Oftentimes, our imaginations are limited by what we know and what we think is possible, our own limiting beliefs around what we think we're capable of or what work can look like. So the more open we are and not putting that pressure on ourselves, to your point, to figure out exactly what that thing is going to look like and making it have to be perfect immediately, the better off we're going to be as far as being more open for things to unfold in ways that can be better than we ever expected or imagined. So I love that. Yes, it's like you get to define it, you get to figure it out, and it doesn't have to be now. And I just, one last thing I want to call is, I love what you said as far as like our prefrontal cortexes are not formed. The part of our brain that is controlling our personality, our behavior, our executive function, not formed until 25. So why would we ever think we were going to figure out what we were going to do in our careers for the next 40 plus years by choosing, you know, as a kid, a college major or like our first jobs out of school? It's going to change and it's going to be a beautiful evolution. And you'll be ultimately thankful for the journey, even with the peaks and valleys, at least in my opinion. And from what women, other women have said too.
Yeah, I love that so much. There's so many good quotes to pull from you from this episode. So Sarah, what is your ultimate goal with Raise to Rise?
Yeah. Well, so this experience has been really phenomenal. It's actually becoming a book, which I'm really excited about. So it's a book that is including stories, actually not just from women of the Great Resignation, because I've loved speaking with other women too, kind of like you, Lindsay, who have the benefit of more space between that jumping off point and the benefit of hindsight to be able to look back and share wisdom. So lots of stories of women who made bold career moves before, in addition to the Great Resignationers. I take you through the six stages essentially of walking away, the six-step process. And like the starting point of that is rumbling. The second step is knowing. So kind of goes through all of that and then provides a toolkit on the backside that I call the Return to Wholeness Toolkit. And this is about coming back home to you, like shaking off the shoulds, the crap you've picked up along the way of, you know, other negative experiences from jobs that have told you what you can and can't do. It's like really coming home to yourself to determine where your career can go from here and embracing it like that journey, like I mentioned.
Do you know when the book is coming out?
You know, I landed an agent recently. We're taking the book proposal to market. So it'll be a little bit from now, but I'm excited. So I'll keep you posted for sure.
Yeah, definitely keep me updated on that. So where can the listeners find you if they want to connect with you, or maybe if they have a story from the Great Resignation that they want to share?
Definitely. Well, Great Resignation or otherwise, because I'm pulling those stories in for the book. So anyone, please reach out. I'd love to connect with you. There's nothing more that I enjoy more than connecting with women and hearing their experiences and stories. My website is raisetorise.com, and you can find me on LinkedIn and Instagram as Sarah J. McElroy.
All right. I'll leave all of those links in the show notes for you guys. And do you have any resources that you wanted to share with the listeners? I know there's, I think, a quiz on your website and maybe some other resources there.
Yeah. You can check out, there is a quiz on raisetorise.com. I call it the Quit Readiness Quiz. And what that really looks at is kind of like different factors that should come into play as you're figuring out your timing for quitting and whether or not you're ready. And so it is like your threshold for risk taking, how you make decisions and how you blend intuition and logic. It's also how long you've been feeling this way, how stable you feel in other parts of your life. That's really important too, because if you got a lot that's really shaken in your snow globe right now, so to speak, it may not be the right time to make a career move. So it kind of walks you through all of the different factors and considerations, and then gives you an idea of how ready you are.
I love that. All right. All of those links are in the show notes for you guys. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your journey, sharing what you've been learning from all of these women who you've spoken to. It's just like this topic, I've never actually had kind of a great resignation expert come on. And so I was really excited when you had reached out. And I'm just excited for the listeners to be validated in all of these things that they're feeling. So I can't thank you enough.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Lindsay. I love this platform for all these women out there. I deeply believe this is a moment of reckoning and a revolution mm-hmm. for us. So tap into that knowing and go for it.
Yes. All right, my loves. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're looking for more content to help you leave your 9-to-5, make money online, and create a life of freedom doing work you love, come hang out with me on social media. You can find me at Lindsay M. Hansen on Instagram and on TikTok. Also, come join the Quit Your Job Sis Facebook group so you can connect with me and your fellow listeners and get an amazing community to support you on your journey. If you love this episode, please be sure to share it on social media, share it with your friends or your coworkers, and go ahead and leave a review on Apple Podcasts so we can get the show out to all my corporate babes and entrepreneurs who need to hear it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and being on this journey with me. I love you. I appreciate you. I am here for you always, and I will talk to you in the next episode.